You're listening to the Mind Your Home podcast. I'm your host, Mia Danielle, and I'm here to tell you that the number one thing you can optimize to give you more energy and happiness is your environment. If you're tired of the chaotic cycle and ready to feel energized at home with more simplicity, more energy, and less clutter, then welcome to the Mind Your Home podcast.
Everybody has opinions about it. Everybody feels insecure about it. Nobody has enough. There's so much stuff to unpackage whenever it comes to finances and to money. And so I am going to share like some of my own finances with you today. And it's not because I feel like I am by any means a financial guru or genius, but I have some values of my own when it comes to money that, I don't know, maybe you might share in. I do think that there is some truth to the notion that you put your money where your mouth is, or, you know, like that where you invest your dollars is where your true values lie. I think that there's some truth to that. I'm not saying that there are like millions of people who highly value Starbucks above their children, if that's like the way that the scales are being skewed. But I'm just saying, like, there are trends. And if you look at the graphs and trends of your spending and investing over large periods of time, you're likely to see some patterns there. And those patterns are very likely correlating in some way to your values, how you like to spend your time, what's important to you. I don't like the word frugal. I don't consider myself to be a frugal person. I hate even saying that word. I think it's a very strange word just to say. And I can't help but think of my grandmother, who always used the word frugal and was definitely very frugal herself. I really don't like it. I think that in my mind, when I think of somebody who is very frugal, this is the person who's maybe coupon clipping or like trying to pinch out every tiny thing, like every extra cup of coffee or every trip to the gym or to the movie theaters. And that's just not me. Like, I don't want to be spending and investing my time in trying to micromanage finances on that scale. And I may be totally wrong on that. I know that there are a lot of people who swear by frugality and they live their lives, and people obviously really enjoy getting feedback on how to do that and how to do it better, but it's just not for me. I like looking at the big data. Whenever I look at my finances, and I do nerd out on looking at the graphs and the charts and where things go, I definitely categorize every expense because I like looking at the charts, but like it's always on a grander scale level. I'll look at what I'm spending the entire quarter and what general categories I need to cut down on, less so how I can pinch out money here and there. Because from what I've seen, the data that I've collected for myself that I'm going to be sharing with you, it's really the larger categories that tend to make up for more than the little cup of coffee here or a gym membership because you want to get out of the house. Or subscription services. I hear people talking a lot about subscription services. And I know for sure that you can get like way out of whack with your subscription services. I definitely have not done that, haven't gone there, but I do have some subscription services. I have Netflix and Hulu, and I've got Amazon Prime, you know, because I use the delivery and it comes with the Prime Video. And so anyway, like I do invest some amount of my money into subscription services. I don't buy cable, right? So it is kind of like a replacement for cable, and it's a far cheaper replacement for cable. And if you look at my finances, like it's less than 1%. So here's the truth, the whole of it. Like, I'm very intentional and mindful about how I spend my money, about the types of things that I choose to bring into my home and surround myself with. Like, I'm very intentional about what I surround myself with. But I don't take it to the level of being nitpicky or giving myself too many rules on where I can and can't spend my money if it is something that I truly think that I'm going to enjoy or get some kind of value out of. And that may be joining a really freaking expensive gym that I did last year that came with pools and hot tubs and a steam room and sauna and a gym and like every class you could think of and yoga and sound baths with the ringing bells. It was totally me. And yes, it was way more expensive than I've ever spent on a gym membership. But the value that I got out of that and that my family got out of being able to go and swim and just get out of the house, like, for those of you who don't know, here in the Pacific Northwest, throughout all of winter and most of fall and parts of spring, it's like it's raining. And so you get really cabin feverish. It's a lot of being indoors. It's a lot of not having sunshine. And I get to where very often I need to get out. I need to have some way to move my body, something to do that's like engaging mentally and physically. And if I have to spend money in order to get that and feel like I'm really getting the optimal experience from my day out of it, then I'm willing to do that as long as I can afford it, as long as I have it in my budget. And I think that that's really what it comes down to when you talk about managing your money intentionally, at least for me, and being a minimalist with spending. Is it really comes down to, are the big bulks, the big things that you look at in your graphs, are those aligning with your values? And are those what you want your values to be? Now, of course, the container for all of this is your budget. You don't want to be spending more than what you're bringing in. And while I don't do micro budgeting, I don't say like, this is how much I'm going to allot in food or in eating out or in gas or anything like that. I do adhere to the overall amount of this is how much I have coming in. I don't want to spend all of it. And I definitely don't want to spend more than that, right? And one thing I could say is that I don't have any consumer debt, and I haven't for a very long time, myself or Matt. Like, you know, we have this condo that we bought, but we don't have any kind of credit card debt. We don't have any debt from just going out and spending money, even vacations, which I do value travel and experiences. I don't value them enough to just put myself in debt for years for it. That's not to say that we don't use credit cards. We use credit cards for just about everything so that we can collect the points and the miles, which never really seem to add up like they should be. Like, I feel like with as much money as I put on these cards, I should be able to fly wherever, whenever. Those miles do not accumulate nearly fast enough, but I would rather be accumulating something rather than nothing. So we do use our cards and just pay them off every month. So I did this little mental exercise, and I recommend that you do it too. I was thinking about what my greatest values are as far as where I invest my money. Obviously, my family, they're like number one. They're my greatest value. My children, my husband, Charlie, my pup, like that's my number one value. But when it comes to just regularly spending my money, what would I think that my greatest values are? And before I even looked at my finances and pulled up the graph, I was thinking, you know, time. Time is a big one for me. I'm willing to spend money to get back more time. I used to, when I was first starting my business, I was doing every single little task myself all the time. And I was working, like all the time working. I didn't get to enjoy much of anything because that's all I ever did. And now I'm wise enough to know that I value that time more than the money that it would cost for me to ask for help. I value experiences. I think that experiences are a big part of what led me to living a more minimalist life, because I really came to terms with the fact that I didn't care about a lot of the stuff that I was buying, and I just needed to stop buying it because my real value, the thing that I would really rather be investing my money in, is experiences, traveling, getting to see things while I'm still physically able to move as well as I can move. It's always been a huge value of mine ever since I was a little kid talking about traveling around the world. And I haven't gotten to do nearly as much of that as I intend to and I hope to. But I have gotten to experience things like living in the desert in Arizona and, you know, living on the coast in California. And of course, I grew up in Texas and now I'm over here in Oregon, where just the Pacific Northwest with the gorgeous mountains. You know, this hasn't necessarily been a normal past couple of months, but over a 2 month period, I will have taken a full family trip to Texas for at least a week. I will have taken a trip with myself and Chloe to Hot Springs, Arkansas. I will have gone to an escape room with my daughter, a really cool escape room, by the way, for her 16th birthday. And just a few days ago, I went indoor skydiving with Matt for the first time, which was a really cool experience. And the latter was thanks to our sponsor today, Tingly, which I'm really excited to share about because their purpose is to share the gift of experiences, not stuff. And they have experiences literally from all over the world, where you are locally, across the seas. I've looked at so many different places and so many different experiences, and there were even so many available just right here in Portland. I opted for the indoor skydiving, which was pretty incredible. You can buy themed experience bundles for like weddings, Mother's Day gifts, graduation gifts, retirement gifts. And in this case, I went with their Fun Together gift. It's a box set for two. They'll either send this digitally. So if you don't want to mail something out and you don't want to have a box, you don't have to. But if you do want to have a physical box to give somebody, this makes a really lovely packaged gift. Your gift experience voucher is inside and there are no expiration dates, 30-day refunds, and free exchanges. The coolest idea ever. I'm so glad that somebody has created this. It's called Tingly with two G's. You'll see the link down in my description, and you can use the code MIA10 for $10 off of any experience gifts until May 31st. In general, before even looking at my finances, I can easily say that experiences are a big one for me. And growth. Growth has always been a huge one, especially since having my business. I want to be able to grow and to expand and help more people with the business, but also just mentally and intellectually and my understanding of the world, because I think that a big part of how we experience the things that we experience comes from our mind, you know, our capacity to be able to experience things a certain way. And so I remember like my mom telling me years ago before I'd gone off to college that you'll never regret education. Now, that may have been a little premature given all of the deep financial debt that so many people are in from their college educations. You can really let that whole ideal get out of control of you can never regret the amount of money you spend on education. But to an extent, like I did internalize that. And I do believe that knowledge and, you know, intellect and ideas and perceptions, that's something that you're never going to regret growing and building. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that. You can do that by reading a book. You can do that by, you know, watching a video or listening to a podcast or just taking in ideas that are not your own, something new. And that's definitely something that I value is growth, especially intellectually. So how did it all stack up against the graphs? Well, I was actually pretty excited whenever I saw that what I thought that my values were are actually what's indicated inside of my graphs. If you look at my biggest spending category, 32% of my spending was on bills and utilities. So the mortgage, the HOA, insurance, cell phone bills, the internet bill, you know, electric bill. So the basic functional things that you need in order to have shelter and security at home. And I also like to include groceries in that. You know, groceries is actually the third one on my list. That was 15% of the overall amount. But I mean, I feel like that is also a part of the necessities category. So groceries and shelter. So in total, that is 42% of my spending was just in the necessities. But the second biggest category is business. This is where I count everything that is growth and time. Let me show you how this breaks down exactly. All of my business expenses for the entire first quarter were 40% help, like hiring help, hiring people to do things for me, essentially translating into time. This is where money translated into time, which again, big value of mine. Another 40% went into software and platforms, things that are going to help my business to be able to grow, to help my business to be able to manage and automate more than what I could do myself. So that kind of fits into both growth and time there. And then 20% into education, which is all growth, learning about things like habits, learning about more about the things that I like to teach people, learning more about running a business and the things that I need to implement on the back end. So all of that mental and intellectual growth is part of the second largest category that I spend on a regular basis. All of those together make up more than 50% of my overall expenses for the entire first quarter. So the subjects are going to get a lot smaller in percentages beyond this point. But the next one is, surprise, travel and vacations, experiences. That accounted for 8% of my spending, and it's probably going to increase some from there as we go through summer and some of the more travel-friendly months. But that includes things like going camping with the family in Central Oregon in RVs, going to visit my family. My grandma's having her 80th birthday in Arkansas, so I'm getting to travel out there and visit with everybody on the lake in Hot Springs, Arkansas, or, you know, going back home to Texas to see my family and visit when my aunt passed away, or just, you know, being able to take a vacation and up and go somewhere. All of those are life experiences, and I'm way more inclined to spend money when it's related to my business or to a life experience than I am with most other things. 2% for entertainment and recreation, which I really include in the whole experiences bundle because that includes things like we took my daughter to an escape room for her birthday. That's an experience. It may not be travel and vacation, but it's definitely an experience, which would turn that 8% into a 10% of our expenses. The next one up is auto and transport, and this one is higher than usual because my daughter's car had an issue that we went in on with her and had that fixed up. So usually the auto and transport isn't quite that high because we don't actually drive very much, so we don't really spend much on gas. But the next up was dining and drinks. Dining and drinks really only accounted for 3% of our spending. We don't try to go out all the time, not even like once a week do we go out to a restaurant and eat or go to a coffee shop and get drinks, but occasionally we do. And when we do, we really enjoy it. You know, we really enjoy it. It's like a special occasion. It's an event, treating ourselves. You know, going to a coffee shop instead of sipping coffee here at the house like I do all the time is adding a little bit of variety and extra experience to my day. So I'm not one to be like, you know, I'm cutting all of that out. But I'm also, I know myself, and I'm not one to overindulge in all of those things and try to dump all of my money into them. I was really excited to see that only 3% of my spending went towards shopping. That includes anything bought from Amazon, from Target, from any clothing stores. Like, we don't buy much clothes anyway, but anything that we would have bought separately for shopping, that was only 3%. 3% for home and garden, the subscriptions that people talk about all the time was 1%. And any kind of personal care, because I don't do a whole lot with like hair and nails and all of those things, was less than 1%. Now, I do have a separate category for kids and pets, and you'll notice that that number is really low. Obviously, the food and the travel and, you know, they're all involved in a lot of these other categories, but I kind of see it as an alignment with my value that their amount specifically is so low because I'm not having to pay for childcare. Like, I'm lucky I'm in a position where I get to work from home and I get to live the value of being here with my kids and being there for them when they want, you know? So I'm not having to pay, which I know is very expensive, and that would be a huge bill. It's a big burden for a lot of people who don't have the luxury of being able to work from home. But having that number low right now is definitely in alignment with one of my values, because when my teenagers were little, I had to pay a lot for childcare. I was working 13-hour shifts and I was paying out the wazoo for childcare, and I was seeing them way less than I am now. I was a single mom at the time. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I know I said earlier where you invest your finances a lot of times is where your priorities are. But in this case, the disalignment of that, I feel like, is more in line with my priorities than if I was spending out the wazoo for my kids. I found that the most effective way for me to save money personally is not to micromanage my finances, but rather to step back and try to be present in the world where I am and just like not focus on the money or on shopping at all. Like, whenever I'm outside, outdoors, being active, creating something, I'm not even spending money. I'm not even thinking about spending money. I don't have to focus on it. And when it's out of sight and out of mind, it makes it easier. It makes it a little more effortless, a little more just peaceful, going with the flow, and less angsty. And like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so for me, the greatest antidote to overspending, overconsuming, overshopping is just to practice being present, physically and mentally present. All right, that's all for my money chat. Hopefully you got some value out of this, or at least some ideas to take a look at your own graphs and your own finances. I will chat with you next week. Bye.